Hi, this is Roger Marsh for Family Talk with some exciting news. We've selected 18 of the most popular broadcasts of the past year and present them to you together on 6 audio CDs in the 2017 Family Talk Best of Broadcast Collection. You can get your CD set as our thank you for a suggested donation of $50 or more in support of Family Talk. Join Dr. Dobson in serving families by calling 877-732-6825 or visit drjamesdobson.org.
Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, filling in for Dr. Dobson on today's program. Now, last time, you heard from author Frank Peretti as he relived his terrible childhood, which was scarred by bullying. He shared with a group of teens gathered at a youth conference that he was mercilessly teased by his classmates growing up due to a tumor that was on his face. Even though the tumor was later removed, the emotional scars he had never went away. On today's program, Frank Peretti will encourage those who've been bullied. He has a powerful reminder that God has a purpose for their lives. He also has a challenge for those who are doing the bullying to realize the lifetime of hurt they are causing. Now, as we ended part one, Frank was discussing the shooting at Columbine High School and how bullying was interwoven in that tragedy. Let's listen right now to the conclusion of his talk on healing a wounded spirit right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
I do not have all the answers and explanations to that horrible day in Littleton, Colorado. I don't even suggest that I do. But I am suggesting this, and I am convinced of it, that at the core of all of this, people are looking for answers. Oh, what caused it? It's the availability of guns, it's violent videos, it's violent movies, whatever. Here's my contention. I believe at the core of it was a wounded spirit. A wounded spirit that didn't heal because there was always someone ready to stab and kick and yank that wound open again day after day after day. Now listen, there are three kinds of people in this room right now. There are those who are wounded. There are those who wound. They like to inflict the wounds. They get a kick out of it. Maybe it makes them feel better about themselves. Maybe they've been picked on themselves, so they have to pick on someone else to feel better about themselves. The cycle continues. Well, the third kind, I suppose, is the person who does both. I guess I may as well make one obvious statement. It hurts. It hurts deeply, and sometimes it hurts permanently. And you know, because it hurts another human being, we've been talking a lot about right and wrong this weekend. It's wrong. I could take the Christian angle on this. I can argue that Jesus would never do that. You have the wristband, you know, what would Jesus do and so forth. Jesus would work for those of you to love and to serve him. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Hey, you don't like being picked on, so don't pick on others. Love your neighbor. Don't be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Some of you out there, maybe you don't even know the Lord Jesus. Maybe you don't even care. You've been hearing about him all weekend. But it's kind of ironic to me where in the midst of this whole Littleton thing, there were folks still saying, well, you don't really know what's right, what's wrong. Truth is relative. There are no absolutes. When all those thousands and thousands of people gathered for that memorial service to mourn and weep for those kids who were killed, maybe some of them might argue there are no absolutes, but let me ask them, if there are no absolutes, why are you crying? Why are you mourning? I'll tell you why, because what happened was wrong. Now, it's not a matter of opinion. That's not a matter of popular polls. It's not a matter of just what's in fashion at the time. It's wrong. It's truly, absolutely, objectively, externally, universally, and empirically wrong. And I don't care who or when or where you are, when you hurt, injure, or abuse another human being, it's wrong. When you abuse, mock, tease, or bully someone, you're not just hurting them, you are violating their personhood, and you are destroying their dignity, and that is wrong. Now, let me talk to you wounded folks out there. And it's interesting, a lot of you are young, you're just kids, you're feeling wounded. A lot of you are still, you're grown-ups, and you still feel wounded. First of all, I just want you to know you're not as trapped as you think you are. You kids in school, if you're feeling pain, you can talk to someone. You can talk to a teacher. You can talk to a counselor. If you can't think of what to say, if you can't gather your thoughts together, write a letter. Well, I'll just go ahead and be honest. I was in a situation. I was in high school by then. And when you're young, you don't want to be the one that whines, and you don't want to be the one that says anything, and you don't want to be the one that snitches. You want to be the one that keeps a stiff upper lip, and you remain strong, and even though the pain comes, you endure it, because didn't Jesus say, turn the other cheek, and all that business, and you try to ignore, and you try to stay away from the problem, but it doesn't last. It doesn't work. You know, all it took for me was the PE instructor. One day, he was a tough guy. Big guy, had the whistle. We were all afraid of him. One day, I don't know what brought it on, but he looked at me and he said, "Are you okay? You feeling all right?" Well, I didn't answer him. I didn't know what to say to him. But all it took was one moment of tenderness from a teacher. And I went to study hall, and I started writing him a letter. And I wrote, 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 page after page after page of the years of things I had endured and never said a word about. I put it in his mailbox there in the school office the next day. He let me go to a counselor. We talked it all out. We got the situation fixed. I just want to tell you folks, you're not stuck in that situation. And it's interesting to me that you read about, oh, we need to look for the signs of violence. We need to look for these warning signs that something like this is going to happen. Listen, folks, you can see a bruise. You can see a cut. You can see weird, erratic behavior. But a wounded spirit is not entirely visible all the time. And if the children in that school are wounded in spirit, it's going to be tough for you to find out unless you are open and gentle and ready to listen to them. They have a story to tell you, and they're dying for someone to listen, but they feel trapped because this is school. I have to be here. I have to be in this class. I have to be in this room. I have to sit next to so-and-so. They don't want to be branded as the coward or the chicken because they want to get out of an unpleasant situation. Be sensitive to it. And don't just put little band-aids on the hurt. Oh, just ignore them. It'll be okay. Don't worry about it. You're a better person than they are. These are all nice, but they're band-aids. They don't do the whole trick. Now, I just threw this in. It's one of those best kept secrets, but I'll just say it anyway for whatever it's worth. I remember a scenario back in high school. Now, this time it wasn't me. It was a friend of mine. After school, this guy decides he's going to punch my friend out. Well, it happened. He punched my friend out. If I had any wisdom or any kind of experience, if I was a stronger person back then than I was, maybe I would have taken this guy aside. I would say, okay, can I talk to you for a minute? I mean, before you punch him out, can I talk to you for a minute? I just want to let you know that there are witnesses here. They're all kind of watching what you're going to do. And, as a matter of fact, if you punch him out, he is within his rights as a citizen to file a criminal complaint against you for assault and battery. And you could be jailed, and you could be tried, and you could be convicted for assault battery, aggravated assault. You know, depending on how hard you womp on him, you can even be convicted of a felony. In case any of you don't know, pushing, beating up, hitting, shoving, tripping, violating the physical person of anyone happens to be a crime. It's against the law. And those of you who are victims of this kind of abuse, I just want you to know that your property and your person have a legal right to protection under the law. You do what you want with that, but I just want to make sure you know. Now I'd like to say just one last thing to the wounded. I'm 48 years old. You know, when I was a kid, I got made fun of, and I didn't do very well because I couldn't throw a football, and I couldn't catch a football, and I couldn't run very fast, and I was really small. But God has His ways of perfecting your life. Well, now I'm an author, I'm a speaker, I play in the bluegrass band, I fly a plane, I have a lovely wife and a big drooly dog. And you know, I don't really cry too much about the fact that I still can't throw or catch a football. I want you to understand, your life is not defined as, you know, what you are right now. God has a purpose for your life. He made you the way you are for a reason. And don't worry, you're going to find out what it is. You're going to be okay. Sometimes you may feel like you are so inferior, but God's still working on you, and He's got a plan for your life. And you'll make it. But now I have a word for those who do the wounding. You know, it's kind of interesting. I've been out to several Bible colleges to speak. And you walk around the campus and you get to know some of the kids. These are, boy, this is college, all right? And it was really fascinating to me that here is a Bible college and here are these students supposedly studying for the ministry. They want to go out and spread the gospel and be like Jesus and share Jesus with others and all this other stuff. And it amazed me to find the petty cruelties they would inflict on their underclassmen, or maybe on a classman who wasn't as physically athletic as they were, or maybe not as smart, quote unquote. I found it interesting how one Bible student who was really proud of his muscles decided he'd show off those muscles and took one person who was actually older than he was but was smaller, grabbed him, shoved him up against the wall, and just kind of held him there. He wasn't really mad or anything. He just wanted to show off and intimidate this guy. I didn't get the chance, but what I would have said to him if I had the chance, oh, all of these if onlys in our lives. Oh, let's call him Benny. I'll just call him Benny. Benny! Nice muscles. I love the way you can make your neck bigger than your head. Tell you what, Benny, you see this phone in my hand? In 1 minute, I'm going to dial a number. I'm going to call the police. I'm going to file a criminal complaint against you for assault. Now, I can do that, or you can sit down and listen to a lecture. Which will it be? I'll probably get his attention. And then I'd tell him, Benny, you're studying for the ministry. You want to serve the Lord. Can I ask you just for a minute to consider why God gave you all that strength? Why God gave you that superiority that you think you have? Benny, it's not so that you could abuse and oppress and violate those who are weaker. It was so that you can protect those who are weaker. When God gives you a special gift, it's not for yourself. It's for others. The strong are strong so that they can protect the weak. The smart are smart so they can guide the not so smart. The Lord gave you strength to fight for those who can't fight for themselves, to stand between the defenseless and anyone or anything that might harm them. Remember the biblical cities with the wall around? Remember how the guardians would stand on that wall. They would guard and protect the people inside the city. That's what God's called you to do. You're the one who thanks God for the privilege of having strength and ability, and you tell all the others, don't worry, nobody's going to harm you, not on my watch. I told you how I never forgot the names and the faces of those who hurt me. There's one other name and one other face I will remember all my life. I won't give you his full name, but his first name was John. Classic situation. I guess I faced it every day. Mr. XYZ over here decides, I think I'm going to go up and beat up Peretti. I think I'm just going to shove him around and beat him up. Well, John happened to be there. And John stepped forward and came between me and Mr. XYZ. Now, John was a very large person. He was very strong. And he was very persuasive. And Mr. XYZ was more than willing to buy his argument. 30 years later, I still remember John. And I pray for him every day. He came between me and harm. He stood on that wall. And I think he's the only one who ever did. As I look across this vast room and see all these faces, I guess this is my prayer and my desire. You know, this problem of kids picking on other kids and abusing other kids, it's, I don't know, maybe it's like trying to hold back the ocean with a teaspoon, but, well, doggone it, here's one teaspoon. I'm wondering, so I address you right now, if you couldn't come to the Lord and make a real decision, just tell the Lord, you know, I've had those times in my life when I've made other kids miserable. I've had those times in my life when I've decided, hey, I'm going to pick on so-and-so. They look like they deserve it. It's fun. It's my prayer that maybe today you'd make a new covenant with the Lord. You'd say something like this, Lord Jesus, thank you for making me the way I am. Thank you for giving me the strength, giving me the smarts, giving me the reputation, giving me that cheerleader's position, getting me on the football team, whatever. But Lord, here's how I'd like to thank you. I'd like to thank you by being the person who stands on the wall and says to those who are weaker and smaller and less advantaged, don't you worry. Nobody's going to hurt you. Not on my watch. The measure of a man is not his strength, it is the depth of his nobility. The measure of a man is how he treats those who are less of a man, quote unquote, than he is. The measure of a Christian is how willing he or she is to reach down and help those who are less fortunate than he or she is, who is willing to take the strength and whatever advantage they have to help those who have not. We've got this room full of people right here. This is where it can change. Right here, right now, in your individual heart. If you are wounded, now's the time to embrace someone who can help you. You share it with your parents. You share it with your teachers. You share it with whoever you've got to share it with. But don't carry it. Parents, teachers, you be mindful that there are kids in your class, there are kids in your home who may have a wounded spirit and they're afraid to say anything. And you strong. Don't just be strong. Don't just be popular. Don't just be privileged. Be noble. Be noble. Could we just stand together? And I just feel like I'd like us to stand. Just grab the hand of someone next to you. This is your family, folks. This is family. These are the people that need you. They may not need you in an immediate way, but I'm just saying, hey, everybody needs everybody else. Whether it's a flat tire or someone in need or someone in pain, they need you. Let's stop playing this ego game. Let's stop playing this tread on the other person game. Let's start reaching down and pulling up and helping. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I've struggled through this. I've delivered it the best I know how. I know that it's not a thorough, exhaustive picture. It's not a thorough treatment. Time is short. I can't go into all the stuff. But Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit right now, I pray you do a work in each and every heart, that you change hearts and turn minds around and help people to see how things really are in your spirit, in the spiritual realm, how much can really hurt and how much we can heal. Dear Lord Jesus, help us all to be aware. And I pray, Lord God, that at least starting right here, maybe it's like trying to hold back the tide with a teaspoon, but this is our teaspoon. We're going to make a difference in this place and in these hearts. Each and every one of you, if you're wounded, take it to Jesus. Be brave enough and strong enough to say, Lord Jesus, I'm hurting. I'm hurting and I need your help. The rest of you, you pray to the Lord and you say, Lord, help me to be sensitive and to care. And those of you, oh man, it's so easy to fall into. Those of you, if you've hurt someone, if you've teased or tormented someone, you need to go to the Lord right now and say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I never thought about it this way. I covenant with you right now, Lord Jesus. I'm not going to hurt people anymore. I'm going to protect them. I'm going to stand on the wall. I'm going to come between them and harm, between them and evil, between them and pain. Lord Jesus, may this change occur, starting with us. And I'll praise you for it in your precious name. Amen. Stand on the wall and be noble.
And what a powerful call to action from author Frank Peretti here on Family Talk. If you have been impacted in some way by the programs over the past couple of days, we would love to hear about it. You can call our listener feedback line toll-free at 844-823-2669. All testimonies and encouraging comments are welcome. Again, that number for the Family Talk listener feedback line, it's toll-free, 844-823-2669. If you'd like information on how to purchase any of Frank Peretti's popular books or novels, you can head over to our website at drjamesdobson.org. We have a link to his website and social media presence there as well. Again, you'll find that on our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. While you're online, be sure to jump over to our Facebook page and be part of the conversation happening there, discussing today's broadcast, as a matter of fact. Simply go to Facebook.com and search Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. There you can catch up on shows you might have missed. You can also interact with any of our uplifting content as well. Again, that's Facebook.com and search for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. We appreciate your prayers and support of this ministry. Quite frankly, without you, we couldn't continue to do the work that the Lord has called us to do. If you're able to support Family Talk with a tax-deductible financial contribution right now, go online to drjamesdobson.org and make your donation through our secure website. Or you can call us at 877-732-6825 and pledge your support over the phone. Again, our toll-free number, 877-732-6825. Be sure to join us again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.